regulator. You saw us, ne? We got patients. So, again, it's up to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jude. Honorable members, members of the DMR family, and colleagues. First and foremost, we would like to echo the condolences passed to the family of Che Makululo Banda and the family of the late Zola Skwenye to Tutelekan. As the SADPMR, we are honored that we have been given this opportunity to update the PPC on our mandate. First and foremost, the important mandate of transforming the diamond and precious metal industry and ensuring that access to markets in particular the largely disadvantaged majority in our country. When I introduce the team from the SADPMR, which is led by our acting CEO, Mr. Toli Lembonambi, he will be presenting our APP and the strategy and the performance thereof. He's also have Sibusiso Mandlazi, who is our acting CFO, Mr. Conrad Mlondo, who is our general manager for diamond trade, Dr. Jackie Linka, she's a senior manager regulatory compliance. I wish to mention as well that Dr. Jackie Linka was part of the team which put forward a plan to ensure that the beneficiary strategy of the SADPMR is put in place and is ongoing. Further, we have Ms. Patia Kamaka. She is a senior manager of corporate services. The person sitting in front of you now is Tamale Ngweza. As a board member, I serve as the chairperson of the Audit and Risk Committee. As the chair said, it is up to us, and I will, without further ado, give over to the acting CEO.
Thank you, Mr. Ngweza. Honorable Chair, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, the CEO of DMR, colleagues, and ladies and gentlemen, I think it's good afternoon. Again, it is a great honor to present our APP and the budget for financial year 18-19. Our plan is informed by the key priorities of government, the 12 strategic outcomes, as well as the National Development Plan. This plan is a result of an extensive and long deliberations between the SADPMR entire staff and the board, and it has three budget programs, which is administration, diamond trade, and regulatory compliance. Our vision is to be a socio-economic transformative regulator centered on local beneficiation of precious metals and diamonds. Our presentation outline will cover the mandate of the regulator, the organizational structure. We will then move to the annual performance plan, which will then look on the strategic objectives as well as the key activities. We'll touch on the transformation agenda for diamonds and precious metals. We will also take the committee on our activity of chairing the Kimberley process on working group on monitoring. We also going to be touching on the Central African Republic technical training. And lastly, we will then touch on the beneficiation project in the near mining communities. And we will then further look on the budgetary summary, and then we will then conclude. The SADPMR is a Schedule 3 public entity in terms of the PFMA. And our mandate, we will cover it on the next coming slide, but we want to indicate that we draw our mandate from the following pieces of legislation, which is the Diamonds Act, the Diamonds Levy Administration Act, as well as the Precious Metal Act of 2005. The South African Diamonds Precious Metal Regulator continues to advocate the domestic beneficiation of our local mined minerals in an effort to grow the economy, create the employment, as well as supporting transformation in these industries. Slide number 4 gives the mandate of the regulator, which is to facilitate buying, selling, exporting, and importing of diamonds. As a regulator, we also ensure that South African diamonds are all traded at a fair market value. We also prevent the trading of conflict diamonds in accordance with the Kimberley Process Scheme, and we regulate the downstream precious metals in accordance with the Precious Metal Act. And lastly, we enforce requirements of the broad-based socio-economic empowerment contemplated in Section 100 of the MPRDA. On slide number 5, Chair, here we wanted just to indicate that our structure is headed by the board and the chief executive officer with the company secretary and the internal audit reporting directly to the CEO. And then we've got about four general managers for regulatory compliance, diamond trade, legal, the CFO, as well as the corporate services. The total number of employees employed at the regulator at the end of March 2018, we had about 49 males and 70 females, and then in terms of the race, 109 are Africans, 4 are colored, 4 are Indian, and 2 are white. Touching on the employment equity statistics, we've got about 7 senior managers who are males and 5 who are females. And on professional and skilled employees, there are 29 males and 46 females. On semi-skilled employees, we've got 11 and 14 females. And on unskilled employees, we've got 2 males and 5 females, and which gives us a total of 49 males and 70 female employees. In coming up with our annual performance plan, Chair, a detailed situational analysis of political, social, economical, legal, and environmental factors was conducted to develop this APP. The 5 strategic objectives with a clear outcome and measurable impact were established to drive our mandate. These include the improvement of competitiveness, sustainable development and job creation in the diamond and precious metal industries. Also ensuring that these sectors are meaningfully transformed while promoting equitable access to resources for local beneficiation and enforcing compliance with legislative requirements. And lastly, in order to improve organizational capacity for maximum execution of excellence. These strategic objectives are linked to the National Development Plan and are aligned with the 9-point plan of government. Next slide. In order to improve competitiveness, sustainable development and job creation, next slide, Mr. Sir. As a regulator, we have ensured that 100% of all new licenses that are applied for will be processed and issued. Out of those, we will ensure that 75% of such new licenses will be finalized within 60 working days based on the completeness of each application. 100% of the new renewals licenses received will be processed and finalized within 60 days. We have targeted to assist 14 new entrepreneurs coming from a baseline of 10 from the previous financial year. This assistance entails provision of relevant information for our clients so that they can be able to compile business plans that they can be able to use to be able to get funding. We further facilitate key skills initiatives in both precious and diamond industries at a target of about 5 initiatives annually. These skills include diamond planning and sorting to ensure that beneficiaries extract highest value when cutting and polishing their diamonds. We also ensure that our licenses are given skills or assisted with the skills to ensure that they can trade in both precious metals and diamonds. And lastly, we will continue overseeing the beneficiation of issuing of beneficiation licenses from a target of 70 on an annual basis from a baseline of 67 from the previous year. On the strategic objective number 2, which is to ensure radical transformation of the diamond and precious metal industries, we have the following activities, which is to promote participation of HDSA. We have targeted 80 of the licenses to be verified on their commitments. These commitments, normally they are made during the application. However, we make sure that during the term of those licenses, we also check whether those commitments are continuously met. Another issue under the strategic objective number 2, which talks to the transformation, we have also seen that that in the number of licenses that we've been issuing, we needed to decrease a number of those businesses that are inactive. From a target of 36, coming from 31 the previous year. On strategic 3, which is to improve equitable access to resources for local beneficiation, in this regard, we have taken a key activity to increase access to diamond for local beneficiation of a target of 108. This, Chairperson, stems from the number of our beneficiaries that access our diamond exchange and export center for the purpose of trading that was at 103 the previous year. Now we have planned to increase that number to 108. On strategic number 4, which talks to enforcing compliance with the legislative requirements, we conduct diamond valuation services, and we have targeted to ensure that all the diamonds that have been all the diamonds has to be evaluated to ensure that there is the fair market value is determined. This normally happens when the trader is offered the 10% from all the producers. We offer those services. And secondly, we also ensure that in the case there are disputes between the producer and our government diamond valuator, we negotiate to ensure that we reach a level of a fair market value. And we conduct inspections for within the diamond and precious metal sector, a target of 1615, which is 1,615. From a previous a baseline of 1,610. We also conduct compliance inspections audits in terms of the mining charter, where we also look at the compliance of the licenses in terms of their commitments in as far as the charter is concerned. Our target is 471 from the previous baseline of 461. We also oversee the administration of Kimberley process, and we have targeted to ensure that 100% compliance in this regard. And lastly, we ensure compliance with legislations and policies and procedures to ensure that we reduce any audit findings. And our target is to ensure that we don't have any, not more than five of repeat audit findings at any given point. The last strategic objective, which is to improve organizational capacity for maximum execution of excellence, is to implement the approved human resource plan as well as the communication policy, the minimum information security standards, and the master plan, the master system plan, and also ensure that we provide legal support to the regulator. Now, coming to an issue of transformation agenda within the diamond and precious industries, this still remains a challenge for us, and in this regard, we have intensified our work of transformation team by ensuring that we add more audits on charter commitments by our licenses. And we have also made plans to capacitate a unit. What we have done here, Chair, we developed a unit that will, on a constant basis, monitor the performance of our licenses in as far as the charter commitments are concerned. The areas that we always monitor is on ownership, human resource development, procurement, and employment. And the current status is that the transformation team is ensuring compliance with the commitments and undertakings by the companies made whilst applying for their respective licenses. And a lot of companies have been forced to adhere to the undertakings and correct their infringements. And as a result of this strategy, we have seen some of the HDSAs being included in the management, as well as operations and decision-making processes of the companies that we regulate. South Africa is currently chairing the WGM, which is the Working Group on Monitoring, for the next 3 years since 2017. And the regulator is the focal point, which is appointed by the minister. The duties of the Working Group on Monitoring is to conduct a peer review visit and missions on Kimberley Certification Scheme minimum requirements. And we are proud to indicate that with these activities, we have ensured the readmission of Central African Republic on the Kimberley process, and also the acceptance of the Lesotho in the Kimberley process family. Other issues that the working group is responsible for is the drafting of administration decisions and management and assessment of the Kimberley Process participants' annual reports, and lastly, to monitor the participants' compliance with the minimum requirements. We have touched on the issue around the Central African Republic, which remains one of our key partners in promoting intra-Africa trade, especially in the field of diamonds trading. The expert ranks CAR diamond quality amongst the top five in the world. It is in this regard that with the MOU that we have signed between the Republic of South Africa and CAR, that has provided opportunities for talks and exchange on views and information on the mining policies between the two countries, and also ensuring that there is an exchange of expertise, skills, and building of human resources in the mining sector. Last year, we were invited by the Ministry of Minerals and Energy of Central African Republic for a technical visit in CAR. And this delegation was led by the DMR, accompanied by the regulator and CGS. And during this technical visit, and the discussions that we had, we observed the need to share the skills and support in the field of geological surveying, diamond valuation, licensing, registration, small-scale mining, mineral characterization, and diamond fingerprinting. And currently, Chair, we are proud that there is an ongoing training at the regulator, where we are assisting our CAR counterparts on the areas that I've mentioned above. Again, as the current chair of the Working Group on Monitoring, we have committed in the plenary of 2017 that we will be assisting Central African Republic with the training on the above-mentioned aspects to strengthen and contribute the CAR's compliance with the minimum requirements of Kimberley Process. On the issues around beneficiation strategy, it is important that we have noted with great concern that there has been a decline on the beneficiation of our diamonds and precious metals. And in that regard, we then, as a regulator, came up with a turnaround strategy that will ensure that we change things in this regard, because the majority of our minerals gets to be exported as rough, and then they then get to be imported later after they've been polished from other countries. We have seen this as a disadvantage because it takes a lot of employment and it results in a number of our licenses closing down. In this regard, we have decided to come up with a turnaround strategy to ensure that we pursue the issues of beneficiation of our local of our diamonds and precious metals by ensuring that all the applications for beneficiation licenses are prioritized. This means that currently, if one applies for a beneficiation license or any license or dealer license, there is a turnaround of 60 days. As a regulator, we have decided to see whether we can reduce that turnaround time and prioritize beneficiation licenses with an aim of ensuring that we promote local beneficiation. One of the other things that we have also done, Chair, we have also looked and said, as a regulator, what more can we do in this space? by collaborating with the DMR. Currently, DMR manages the social and labor plans of different mining companies. We have been in discussions with DMR to ensure that as part of the social and labor plan, is it possible for those companies to be able to establish the factories in those areas so that we can be able to revitalize employment in mostly distressed mining towns. In this regard, we are proud to say there has been an progress, and we believe when there is reviews of these social and labor plans, the strategy and approach of ensuring that we develop factories in those mining towns where platinum, gold and diamonds are being mined, so that people from those areas can be able to have employment. However, Chair, as a regulator, we've also approached one of our clients, which is the Virginia Jewelry School, which is currently establishing the jewelry mass production factory in Virginia, and we decided to support that program. This is to ensure that the economic revitalization of Virginia area and help reduce the poverty and increase employment in and around those mining towns. In ensuring this, we have recruited five historical disadvantaged South African companies or individuals around the gold field to take part in an 8-month course of jewelry manufacturing, with an introduction of polishing, of cutting and polishing of diamonds. And further, the SADA PMR will then support those companies by ensuring that they concurrently assisted to apply and obtain their beneficiation licenses as well as the jewelry permits. These companies or individuals will then be incorporated in the mass production factory, and in return they should recruit individuals around the Virginia Jewelry School who have completed their training. These companies will enter in a memorandum of agreement with the regulator. The regulator will then assist the qualified students from the Virginia School of jewelry in the application of jewelers permit at a later stage, and then be contracted in the mass production jewelry factory. And lastly, the role of the Virginia Jewelry School will be to embed and mentor these historically disadvantaged South African companies with an end goal of ensuring that they establish their own independent businesses. Chair, I will then hand over to the acting CFO to just take us on the expenditure estimates for 2018 medium-term expenditure framework. Over to you, Susan.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Over the medium term, we'll be focusing on delivering and exceeding the target for our predetermined objectives. As a result, we'll be deriving a grant or a transfer payment from the mineral resources, which equates to about 53% of the total budget, and the 47% will be the in-house generated revenue that we derive on the sale of services and goods. And when we're looking at our expenditure, we anticipate our expenditure to grow from 109 to 121 over the medium term. That's at an average rate of about 7.3% of the medium term. Then when you're going to the next slide, we're just showing the comparison when you're looking at the transfer payment versus the expenditure. In that, we're looking at an average difference or variance of about 53 million on the medium term when you're comparing the grant allocated on a transfer payment versus the total expenditure that the SADPMR envisage to spend to deliver the predetermined objectives. Now, our top 8 expenditure, as we highlighted, as the CEO has mentioned, all the plans, in order to deliver on all the plans and the targets that have been highlighted, will prioritize the spending as according to the medium term. We'll be conducting over the medium term of the 2086 inspections for 18-19, but over the medium term we anticipate to do about 4,350 inspections in the precious metals as well as the diamond sector. And we'll continue to do the monitoring as well as the, when you're looking at the Kimberley process, we'll apply the monitoring or overseeing the 59 Kimberley process participants through our chairmanship of the working group on monitoring. Overall, that's the result or that's the expenditure that we're going to be spending in order to deliver on our strategic objectives. Thank you, sir.
On conclusion, Chair.
And honorable members, we have identified the decline in the local beneficiation and the diamond, in the local beneficiation of diamonds and precious metal as a challenge. Although we have come up with a turnaround strategy, as I've alluded earlier on, in terms of prioritizing our beneficiators, we still strongly believe that there is a need to look into our legislation. I think the honorable members will recall that in our last presentation we've raised concerns around the issues of exemptions as well as elections. And we have since then approached those companies that we thought are not really assisting us in driving our strategy of promoting local beneficiation, and we have come up with some plans to ensure that at least they made some contribution whilst we're looking at the issues of reviewing the legislation. Because it is our strong belief that until such time that the legislation, the Diamonds Act of 1986, which allows companies to be exempted to bring their diamonds to our Diamond Exchange and Export Center, is reviewed, this beneficiation strategy cannot really yield the results that we ultimately want. However, we have had some positive discussions with those companies, and we have come up with the plans to say, in the case whereby some of these goods that they've mined and aggregated in Botswana, and they've offered to their site holders, if there are any of those goods that have not been purchased by the site holders, we have requested that such goods needs to be made available to our state diamond trader. And if the state diamond trader cannot be able to purchase, we have also requested that they must make arrangements that those goods must be brought to our DEC. In this regard, we have also been in discussion with the department to ensure that when these exemptions are given, we are also ensuring that there are some conditions that these companies are also going to be contributing in terms of supporting local beneficiation of our minerals and precious metals. The second challenge of accessing to startup capital for funding of historical disadvantaged South Africans, we have been facilitating relationships between the historical disadvantaged South African companies as with the funding entities or institutions of government for them to be able to start up their own businesses. The third challenge that we're still having is the access to the international markets for the polished diamonds by the small beneficiators. In this regard, Chair, we have been facilitating the polished diamond tenders and ensuring that there is an access to international markets by the small beneficiation by the small beneficiators through the exhibitions that are led by our sister company, which is the trader. And lastly, on the issues of the lack of intra-African trade in the diamond space, we have been looking at the projects on how to promote African the intra-African diamond trade. That's why we have started with the assistance of CAR to see that at least in future we can be able to promote the intra-Africa trade, especially in the diamond space. Thank you very much, Chair.
I always tell people where I grow up, Babu Chaya, Dr. Scaife, Technique, I'm not a team. I'm being a light on my own. No one is a team. And I'm born with power in some Wangalan.
And the Uber chain, the Uber chain.
So sponsorship.
Uber chain.
I'm going to be a power in the day.
Yeah, I do it. This is a but as we were saying, unfortunately, some of the members in the House will not understand what the Chair and I are conversing about. As it was mentioned earlier, we'll be discussing in the corridors. On behalf of my colleagues, yes, we have made it clear that we have some obstacles that we need to go through. The fact that the regulator is part of and chairing the world, the WGM, and has opened opportunities not only for South Africa but for other countries to get expertise and expose South Africa as well in allowing us to have these businesses that we have, particularly your beneficiators, going out there and being able to get some of these diamonds. And as the CEO has mentioned as well, it will give an opportunity for us to pass on to the trader, as everyone knows what the situation is in. So thank you very much for the time. We will await comments.
Trade.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources and all supporting members of staff of the committee.
Relax, sit there. Relax. You know why? You must hide behind this man. At least then it is three women and one man. So we have a privilege to be protected.
Continue. Firstly, let me convey our deepest condolence to the Mandela family on the loss of a powerful and great leader, Mama Winnie Madikizela Mandela. Let me introduce myself. I am Michelle McMaster, a member of the State Diamond Traders Board. I'm here to introduce our CEO, senior management team, on behalf of our chairman of the board, Mervyn Carstens, who is unfortunately not able to attend today. Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, let me thank you for this opportunity to present to you. Let me introduce the State Diamond Traders Senior Management Team to you. On the left is our CEO, Mr. Mbuni. Next to him is our CFO, Mr. Nisa. Next to Mr. Nisa is our Legal and Company Secretary, Mr. Beagle. They will present to you the annual performance plan and budget accordingly. I now hand you over to our CEO. Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Master. Greetings to the Honourable Chairperson of the Committee, Honourable Members of the PPC, Chairpersons of the and Board Members from other entities, the DMR family. The presentation that we are going to make, Honourable Chairperson, is based basically on the APP and the budget after the board has adopted a new strategy early in February this year. The outline of the presentation will basically give the background of the strategic plan that was approved, the APP, and the budget. Will also give some observations that were made by the board during the process of drafting or adopting the strategic plan. Will highlight the vision and the mission of the entity. We'll further give some statistics about the segmentation of our clients or beneficiaries. We'll also give the brief strategic objectives and outcomes of the entity, and also deal with the activities to achieve the objectives of the entity, and also highlight a bit about the quick wins or the low-hanging fruit, and the CFO will deal about the budget. Honorable Chair, in early February, I indicated that the board adopted the new strategy for 2018 up to 2023. There were two questions that confronted the board when it was considering the adoption of the new strategy. The first question that came to the board was to check whether the entity was still within its mandate, that of promoting equitable access and also that of promoting local beneficiation. The second question that came was to just verify whether does the board have what it takes to achieve its mandate, or does it have a potential to grow the entity. On both the questions, Chairperson, there were positive answers. However, there were observations or challenges, or four key challenges that were observed by the board. The first one was the finance, one which internally, or the entity that was facing the challenges, as the entity is a Schedule 3B with no financial support from the state, and currently taking into consideration that the loan that the entity has been facilitated by the IDC, which is paid within short space of time at prime plus 3%, which at the end of the day, that is translated or transferred to the beneficiaries of beneficiation. Hence, it makes difficult to make a profit for the institution, and also hampers progress with the beneficiaries of beneficiation or to promote beneficiation. The second issue around finance, my colleague from the regulator has also indicated the access to startup finance by the beneficiaries of our clients, and also limited resources and skills for them also to acquire material and tools to continue operating. The second observation of challenge that was addressed by the board or observed by the board was also the availability of suitable diamonds in both quality and quantity in order to be given to the beneficiary. If you can look there, it's slide number 2. Basically, 15% of the total rough diamond was suitable for local beneficiation, which makes it a bit difficult because of the runoff mines that we normally receive. The third challenge that was observed was an unstable and shrinking market. My colleague has also indicated about that because of the prices on the global market. The last observation that was also made by the board or the challenge was the act the Diamond Act of 1986, which together with the amendments thereof, whether are they assisting the institution or the entity to manage or to be able to achieve its mandate. Slide number 4, we are talking about the vision to be a catalyst of transformation and growth of local diamond beneficiation industry. That I'm not going to deal with much about that. The next slide is about the segmentation of the water lines. Currently, as an entity, we have 78 clients. Basically, the 11 clients are those that we call growth and transformation clients. Basically, they are new entrants on the market with no skills and no finance. However, they are getting into the market, and those are the ones that we, again, give attention to so that at least they may find comfort as they are starting their journey. We also have 33, which we regard them as equitable access or small companies, but they've been now on the market for quite some time. Then we have the 34, which we regard them as niche and large or established market. All in all, there are 78. These companies have currently employed 49 youth. Those are permanent jobs that are there. As the entity, we also have some trainees. We have currently in our structure 3 diamond valuers trainees. We have also have 18 entrepreneurs development program where we have 18 students. Together with MQA, we are hosting 19 TARI students, which the program is about to come to an end. Later I will talk about what are we planning to do about that. Slide number 11 deals with the strategic outcome, which of course we've aligned it to the National Development Plan outcome 4, 5, and 12, and also align that with the DMR strategy, that of creating decent economy and jobs and transforming the industry. The more details or deliverables about the strategy are contained in slide number 12 to 16. However, the following strategic outcome of the board were adopted: the growth in employment and diamond beneficiation by the local diamond beneficiation industry. The second one was about a transformed domestic diamond beneficiation industry. The third one, equitable access to rough diamonds by local diamond beneficiators. The last one, a capable and developmental organization. These are the strategic objectives as outlined basically in slide number 12 to number 16. Chairperson and members, the other issues that I just want to that we pay attention to are on slide 13, the activities basically that as an entity we are focusing on, that we are going to we are putting in place to ensure that we achieve our strategic objectives. This we've also discussed with the DMR. First one is to attract new entrants of beneficiation on rough, especially focus must be on youth and women, with special reference to blacks. This we are also going to do through roadshows and career exhibition and career expos that we have as an institution together with other institutions of higher learning and our schools. The second one is to increase an amount of rough, both quality and quantity,
in order to cater for the demand that is there. This we are also doing in conjunction with the regulator, because we don't want to be outside the regulations. We are continuing to search for suitable RAF outside the country, especially within SADC. Currently, we have done a feasible study at Botswana, and also about to do a study around Angola to check whether we cannot get a suitable RAF diamond to augment the current status. However, this we will do within the legislation and also taking into consideration all the agreements that are there within the country. The other aspect that we are looking at is working with Gauteng Industrial Development Zone together with the Cedar Platinum, is to look into building a hub or an incubator for trading and also ensuring that the beneficiaries, they can operate there. Hence, the also notion that we want to relocate to a new venue where this vision or objective can be achieved. This will also looking to get, not neglecting external role players, like we are in discussion with Chinese guys to assist in the facilitating the incubation or the establishment of a hub. The other contributing factor or the activities that we are going to put is to continue to expose our clients to both local and international market for them to export the polish and end products. That is why we participate on regular basis on the Hong Kong show and other shows that are there. As I'm talking, Chairperson, while our director for operations has been to China, together with the Kimberley Diamond and Jewelry Incubator, the University of Seoul Plage in Northern Cape, and together with the Department of Economic Development for Northern Cape. One of the aspects was to expose our clients to international market. Those low-hanging fruit, we believe that the trip that they undertook is going to assist our clients in order to be able to sell their products and the foolish diamonds. The other issue that we are facilitating is, as I've indicated earlier, that the EDP is about to come to an end. We are also looking together with MQA to check whether we cannot extend the EDP for next 3 years and take coming up with new intakes. That's what we are going to do. We are also, Chairperson, looking at the new form of funding to support the entity. We have also discussed the matter with the DG, looking at the system that will look at other alternative way of funding the entity. As we have indicated that the way the entity is operating, we don't feel that it's sustainable until we definitely relook into the legislation, but at the same time look at the other funding model that will assist the entity to sustain itself. Basically, Chairperson, in conclusion, I will indicate that this is what we want to present to the committee in a nutshell, and deliverables, as I indicated, they are on slide number 12 to number 16. Thanks, Chairperson.
Okay. The only limitation is that...
Sorry, if I just said that was left, the CEO was finished on his side, so I was supposed to present the finance part, which is going to be quick, so I don't worry. As the CEO has indicated, our key challenge is that it's one of the key things as a trading entity, which is the funding. We always try to prepare our budget based on the issues that we think they're going to happen. We're hoping that maybe one day our lamentations will be heard and the Good Samaritan will come to our rescue and assist us with funding so that we can be able to actually improve or achieve in our mandate, which is to grow the local certification. Currently, we've got the budget for 2018-19 sales. We said we're planning to achieve 751 million in our sales, and there's the cost of goods, which we said is going to be 721 million, and the gross profit, we hope that is going to 30 million we're going to be able to achieve. And then our overheads are going to be a total of 29 million. When you look at our gross profit and our overheads, that leaves us with less than a million, which means that we don't have any reserves. That's why we always ask for assistance if we can get something, because as a trading entity, we need to have the reserves so that we can continue to be a growing concern. Because without any reserves, if something happens in a particular year and the market is bad to the extent that we cannot sell diamonds, it means the entity will not be able to continue to grow and be a growing concern. So this is us that we are presenting. As we know that we don't have any source of funding, our main funding is commercial activities, which we need to sell diamonds. So come rain or sunshine, we need to make sure that we sell. And that hinders mainly our mandate, that is of developing clients, because we cannot be able to develop them. When we look at our gross profit and overhead, they just swallow everything. So we are appealing to the committee to assist us. Thank you.
Okay. Is that you are the only one who has got the numbers, which page is that page? Or I'm the only one who doesn't have the numbers. Either way, if others do, I can count how many are the pages, but they are not written as slide 1, 2, or 3. Mine. If it's written, it might be written at the corner where it's stapled.
Oh, apology for that. We will increase them in future.
Okay, now I can see. I thought it's Mr. Lorima or Schmidt. We have got a support system with their eyes who could see. So at least I must be forgiven. I used the original.
Oh.
Okay. There are the two entities. Honorable Lorima, Honorable Pikinini, Honorable Mandela, Honorable Schmidt. Yes.
The regulator first. I don't know if you've heard the term mission creep. My understanding of the need for the regulator is that diamonds and precious metals are assets that can be used to promote crime, avoid tax and other government currency regulations, and that's why we have a regulator. But when I look at your presentation, I ask myself whether you're a regulator or an economic development agency, because much of what you seem to be doing appears to be outside of your mandate. Now, it's all good stuff that we all want to see. The question is, are you the most appropriate agency to be doing it? So, here's your chance to school me, convince me otherwise. I do have a specific question on the involvement in the Central African Republic. Does that stem from the involvement of South African companies in the diamond industry there? Mr. Chair, must I go into the state diamond trader at the same time? I see that you've got 78 companies buying your diamonds. Could you give me an idea of what percentage of your sales are accounted for by the top 3 to 5 companies? I'm trying to find out if there's an even spread across your sales. Very specifically, I want to know if any of the companies that you've done business with is called Kwalo Diamonds, now called Kwame Diamonds, and its associate, Mr. Choma Tole. So I want to know whether you're doing business or have done business with any of those entities. I'll wait for the answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the presentation. Mine, surely, question will be one, and I normally keep on asking this question. It's a very simple one. There was a project which was talked about, I think, of BOSS. Very nice with it. And URSBH. It has a very good intention. It was going to assist us in operation. That's the only one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I appreciate the presentations that have been put before us, and therefore I'll start with the Diamond and Precious Metals Regulator. Honorable Chair, on slide number 6, shows a phenomenal transformation and empowering of women. 70 women versus 49 men. Truly a transformed entity. But I must raise a room for concern, Chair. Something perhaps the regulator could look into further, that if you then look at the racial breakdown there, 109 Africans, 4 colored, 4 Indian and 2 whites, and I believe that the two sectors of racial class, colored and Indian, need to be looked into, Honorable Chair, particularly in the fact that both the Colored People's Congress and the Indian and Natal Indian Congress, the Natal and Transvaal Indian Congress, played an immense role in our struggle for liberation and in the formulation of the Freedom Charter. So it will be crucial for the regulator to look into how they grow those numbers so that we do not replicate an injustice of the past. But Honorable Chair, on slide number 7, if you look at the figures, there's a lot to be applauded in the terms of the regulator for being a leader in transformation and particularly the empowerment of women. I therefore hope, Honorable Chair, that with the exception of senior managers, we will see that number of 5 grow to support the senior managers of 7 of male counterparts. On slide number 13, Honorable Chair speaks to strategic objective number 3, which seeks to improve equitable access to resources for local beneficiation. And I'd like therefore to understand, Honorable Chair, in terms of this objective and how it is measured, how much beneficiation is being done locally out of minerals of the Republic, particularly in diamonds and precious metals. And if you then look at the objective, strategic objective number 4, speaks to the enforcement compliance with the legislative requirement. And in this regard, Honorable Chair, I'd like to understand why we have some companies such as De Beers who are exempted through Section 74, while there are other diamond producing companies that are not exempted. If I can gain clarity in that regard, Honorable Chair. And on slide number 18, the relationship of the Republic as well as Central African Republic and its MOU on technical training. I'd like to ascertain overall training, Honorable Chair, with which institutions of higher learning and training are these fields which are listed: geological surveying, diamond valuation, licensing and registration, small-scale mining, mineral characterization, diamond fingerprinting. Are they registered with? Because we seemingly find a number of young people that are able to enter the sector, but are actually just been given on-the-job training and end up with just a certificate that is not totally recognized. So I'd like to ascertain, Honorable Chair, as to where exactly do these training expertise are undertaken and with what institution. And on the regulator's presentation, Chair, my last will be on slide number 23, which speaks to the budget, and it's listed there other expenses which has been allocated 12 million rands for 2018-2019. And I'd like to understand what do you classify as other expenses and why are they allocated such a high amount. If you run that against the Kimberley process, the board, insurance, telecommunication, audit fees, and office lease, it seems to be the second highest allocation on the expenditure item, Honorable Chair. And if I am to come to the state diamond trader, Honorable Chair, if you bring our attention to slide number 2, the presentation actually has numbers, Honorable Chair. So those of us that can see well, on slide number 2, it speaks to their introduction and that there's an assumption that all rough diamonds produced in South Africa can be economically cut and polished locally. That seems to be a myth. Honorable Chair, so to really locate that and make that a reality and something that we can work towards achieving, I'd like to understand how is the State Diamond Trader, Honorable Chair, looking to map this? Can we perhaps align it with the NDP 2030 vision or even the Africa a vision of 2064 and say that we should have accomplished 100% beneficiation at a certain target? So if the State Diamond Trader can actually take us into confidence that this can truly be indeed achieved, because right now seems to just be playing off words and putting words in order to for us to have a presentable presentation. Then on the same slide, Honorable Chair, it speaks of a 15% purchase by the entity were desired by the clients. and in actual fact that is the 15% of its actual 10% that is offered to them as rough, as the run of mine. So how much exactly are the previously disadvantaged groups able to consume with their limited capital, Honorable Chair? I think this is derived from the understanding that if a state diamond trader receives a 10% of run of mine, therefore the 15% of that is purchased, it really gives you even a lesser amount of a total 100% of rough diamonds that is mined out of the run of mine. Then on slide number 3, Honorable Chair, they talk to a lack of funding. And I'd like to understand is that lack of funding is associated with the ability to actually buy the allocated 10%? And if so, what are you doing to be able to require the total 10% on month-to-month basis? Because the 10% is not is a 10% of run of mine on a month-to-month basis. And is the state diamond trader able to acquire that 10% in its totality on a month-to-month basis? And if so, why not? On slide number 5, Honorable Chair, it speaks to an average of 78 clients that exist at the state diamond trader. And I'd like to understand as to how many of these are actually previously disadvantaged groups. Because from my understanding that the previously disadvantaged groups are unable to totally consume that 10% and therefore also enabling the state diamond trader to be able to fully acquire its 10% of run of mine on a month-to-month basis. So who takes the lump sum amount of the share that remains? Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we've raised this matter before, and that's the role of the regulator. To the extent that, you know, I've had a look at what precious metals mean in the Precious Metals Act, and it says diamonds, of course, and then it says gold, and any metal of the platinum group and any ore thereof, or any metal declared so by the minister. Now, I'm reading between the lines of the presentation by the regulator. It's all about diamonds. I have not seen the word gold, I have not seen the word PGM in this presentation. This is going to give me. So let's recall it in the South African diamond regulator, because I'm still to find out, and I went to the APP, the document which they gave us. There, all I could find was things to the extent that, if you could understand what that means, it says, for instance, on slide 21, or page 21 of this document, it says existing gold loans and platinum advance schemes, whatever that may be, that is to the number of inactive businesses engaged. They're going to try and action. That's one of the action steps. Are you going to action the existing gold loan and platinum advance scheme? I don't know. But then also, number of skills initiatives, facilitators for the industry, focus on facilitating development of platinum jewelry making skills. But there's nothing in these documents that indicates what it does with precious metals. I'm not talking about diamonds, I'm talking about precious metals. Which basically brings me to the next issue, because it has very much to do with the state diamond trade. Because, Mr. Chair, we've always said that the whole system on which the diamond trade is currently based is not inherently economically viable. In the past, what happened was, let's say De Beers, because De Beers was mentioned, mined diamonds. Of those diamonds, always has been historically the case that 15 or 20 or whatever percentage of it was able to be polished and cut in South Africa. And the rest of it, the rest of it was basically what they would then call Indian goods, because the only country that could really polish and cut those goods were in India. Now, we are trying to superimpose a system on top of that system by saying we are going to cut and polish diamonds, which is economically not feasible to be done in South Africa, because a few years ago, to cut a diamond per carat, as I understand it, was in South Africa something like 32 or 35 carats, and I think it's now much higher. Whilst in India, it was $8 per carat. How do you compare the two? You cannot cut those Indian goods in South Africa. The way they resolved it was, you said, we've got a mix. They take all the stuff to, let's say, London, I think it was. There the goods were mixed, and the value of that what was exported was brought back, and the value of goods that were able to be economically cut and polished were cut and polished in South Africa. So the value was brought back. Now we said we're going to take 10% of a run of mine, buy it, only sell 15%, and the question is, what do we do with the 85%? Does it go to the diamond export exchange? Does it go to directly to the Indian markets? What does the state diamond trader do with the remaining 85%, which is not in a position to be economically cut and polished in South Africa? So that's the first question. The other issue I'd like to know is, so insofar as you make the statement by the state diamond trader that we need a review of the legislative environment, I'm 100% in favour of that review. But I think that's where the agreement stops, because the rest of it is based on an economic model that is not feasible and is not justifiable. Can I just say, if you look at slide number 17 of the state diamond trader, from sales of 751 million, you make a 30 million rand profit. That means you have sold diamonds at a profit generally of about 3 to 4%, roughly speaking, margin, profit margin. So existing to keep a number of people employed at the state diamond trader. That's all you're existing for, because you're not making profit. You exist to try and facilitate a 15% of a 10% of diamonds to be beneficiated in South Africa. That's not even attempting to resolve the problem. 15% of a 10% run of mine. So the whole economic model should be shelved, Mr. Chair. Could you just, on the last instance, explain slide number 18 or 19 of the state diamond trading? You indicate EBIT 1.1 million and your interest income. Would there be interest income on the 751 million rand of sales as at any point in time? The interest expense and then profit before taxation would be 3.1 million. Is that what I understand? So you basically make a profit of 3.1 million per annum, which is your net profit. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, can I just say, what I wanted to say is, there is no reason for the existence of the state diamond trader. And if anything, it should at least be in line with that of the state diamond regulator, because there is no need for the existence of the state diamond trader. That's basically what I'm saying.
Sorry, Honourable Chair, with your indulgence, I just wanted to also ascertain on the state diamond trader in terms of the rapid transformation of sector. What are they doing in training young black entrepreneurs to be able to be effective clients to the state diamond trader? So again, I want to ascertain what institution have you partnered with of higher learning and training to ensure that there's the upskilling of cutting and polishing of diamonds. Thank you, Chair.
I'm going to suggest another one. I'd like to know what proportion of the sales from the state diamond trader is cut and polished locally, and what happens to the rest?
Thank you, Chair. We shall start with the matter of transformation. We'd like to acknowledge the compliment. Thank you very much, and we will ensure that we maintain and possibly improve. I will also give over then to our CFO in the matter of the budget.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you,
members. And thank you, Chair. With regards to the other expenses, here in Davizita, what we are presenting, it's all operating expenditures that are less than 1 million rand. We didn't want to bring it over because it will make the whole, we're going to take about 5 slides just to come up with the operational expenses. But it's all of them combined, which are less than 1 million rand, all operating expenditures that they come from the 12 million rand that we have showed there. That includes our domestic travel, our printing costs, our stationery, and all those type of things. So everything is just below 1 million rand. Thank you so much.
Mr. CEO. No, thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, honorable members. We are here for some questions. The first question was from around the issues of security, and I will just request my colleague, Mr. Mlondo, to address that question on the far left. And on the issues, I will try after that to give some responses around the issue of the post establishment and where we are, and the issues around the exemptions and institutions of higher learning, and the issues around the precious matter. Mr. Mlondo.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and honorable members. I will start with the issue of the intervention of South Africa in CAR. Honorable Chair, I will explain just shortly that immediately after the wars in CAR was suspended as a part of participant in Dagmar trade. And then it took them 3 years to come back into the engagement with the Kimberley Process family, which allowed the evaluation of the country by the KP, with South Africa as a participant. After that evaluation and visit and all technical activities, CAR was allowed back to trade in diamonds. But there were conditions put into the country. There were areas that were declared as a non-compliant zone, and there were areas that were declared as compliant zone, which should be green, which is compliant, and red is non-compliant. During that process, countries were asked to come with the intervention to make sure that the diamonds treated in CAR are not conflicted, which is commonly known as black diamonds. South Africa was identified as only the country that got technology to identify the provenance or the source of diamonds, because we're only the country that has gone and tried to do the research through MINTEC. That intervention caused that all diamonds from CAR before they are exported to any destination are brought into South Africa through MINTEC evaluation, confirmed that all of the source from CAR and from the green zone, which is compliant zone. It is not the South Africa's intention or SATPMR's intention to be there for any South African company. We were directed through our skill by the Kimberley process. Therefore, we are there under the directive of KP. In terms of the role of the SATPMR in dealing with illicit trade of both precious metals and diamonds, in the presentation by the CEO, we mentioned the role that South Africa plays in terms of the trade with diamonds. One of the areas that we are expected to do, we only trade with the participants that are accredited by the KP. All export, whether it's imported, has to be accompanied by the KP certificate, meaning there is no diamond that will leave South Africa without passing the regulator issued with certificate. Any diamond coming to South Africa will come to the regulator, confirmed by the regulator, and confirm the certificate from the origin, and that is the process of allowing diamonds inside the country. It's compliance with KP. Then in terms of the precious metals, as you know, that we got number of Zamazamas operations in the country, our role in terms of that, we participate with the NCSMT, which is led by the police under the intervention of Hawks. That is the role that we play. I know they've been here several times as the police, but we sit there permanent in terms of the strategy. That is our role that we play in that activities. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mlondo. That confirms that On the program that we have embarked on with the Central African Republic, there are no South African companies that, but it was meant to ensure that with the in-house skills in diamond valuation that we possess as the regulator, we can be able to share those ones in line with the signed MOU between the two countries, which is South Africa and the CAR. The question around the establishment of the boss, Honorable Pekinini, it's true that this was one approach that was going to assist us to make sure that we promote trading on our diamonds. However, you'll recall that when you visited us earlier this year, you have observed that the conditions have deteriorated in terms of the location where we operate. On that basis, we have been approached by the Gauteng government to be able, as my colleague from the trader was indicating, that we are in the process of relocating to OR Tambo. That is where we believe that this project will then be very relevant, because in that space we'll be able to operate with the jewelry manufacturers that will be utilizing that precinct. So the same project, it's still on, it's just that currently we have to deal with the issues of relocation, because the area that we are operating in currently has made a number of our clients to move away from downtown Johannesburg because of the crime and the security in that area. On the question around the BS, Honorable Mandela, it's true that last time when we were here, we raised this concern to say, unfortunately, with all our endeavors of promoting local beneficiation of our diamonds, until such time that the 1986 Diamonds Act is revisited, because there is a provision in terms of Section 74 that allows any producer to apply to the minister to be exempted not to bring diamonds to the Diamond Exchange and Export Center. And some of the reasons that they will bring forward will be to say the same, the BS will be expected to, at least out of all the total sales that they've made, 40% of that should be directed to beneficiaries in South Africa. So currently we are monitoring that they are complying with that 40% allocation to the beneficiaries. However, we still believe that until such time that we revisit the legislation and see to it that is it still in line, because it is our belief that at that time issues of local beneficiation were not really taken as much as we are currently driving them currently. And on the institutions of learning, as I've indicated, that the skills that we will be providing to our counterparts from CAR, with the aim, the sole aim is to assist them to be able to be compliant with the Kimberley process minimum requirements. All these skills are in-house skills that are within the regulator. So based on the MOU that we have signed with the Central African Republic, we will be then giving those skills. However, after each of the training that will be, have been offered, there will be an assessment. But these people that we are training are evaluators from CAR,
that are not exposed to the new technologies in as far as evaluation of diamonds in their own space. And one area that we have also picked up is that their licensing regime is the one that also creates some challenges for them not to create to be able to get a full benefit of their diamonds. So in this regard, we will be working with the MQA as the custodian of planning in the mining space, just to make sure that this kind of training is not just a training that is not recognizable, but with the MQA assistance, we'll make sure that whatever training that is issued, the MQA is involved to make sure that it's recognizable wherever they want to use that skills that will have imparted. On the issue around Honorable Smith, around the precious matter, I think we appreciate that in our presentation we did not really spend time on issues around precious metal, for the reason that currently the challenges that we are facing as a regulator are mostly on the diamond side. The majority of companies that operate in the precious metal space, being our gold mines as well as the precious metals, as well as our platinum mines, it is our strong belief that their performance is still above the requirements that we require. However, when it comes to issues of diamonds, that is where we have realized that we need to put more focus to make sure that at least we change that narrative of the approach of taking all our diamonds as rough and bring them back to South Africa as polished goods. In our annual performance plan, we have touched that in terms of the production as well as the fabrication of these precious metals. As a country, we believe that those companies are still able to meet the local demand, because in the majority of the platinum as well as gold, they are used in the jewelry manufacturing factories. And as a country, we are able to receive sufficient gold and platinum to be able to make our... It is only for that reason that we did not really zoom too much on the precious metal. I think we tried to cover all the questions, if I'm not mistaken. There was a question around strategic objective number 3 by Honorable Mandela around equitable access to resource local beneficiation. And the question was to say how many diamonds are being beneficiated locally. It is in this regard, Honorable Mandela, that we said we are very concerned and greatly concerned that very few of our diamonds gets to be beneficiated home. And if you look at the figures, the recent numbers that we are having is that in 2016, out of 700,000 carats that were purchased by our beneficiators, only 212 thousands of those carrots were beneficiated locally. With the changes in the way that we implement our legislation and the stringent rules that we have put for those that want to export, we have seen some improvement from 212 to 287. However, we still believe that companies like the PS, as you have mentioned, as well as Petra Diamonds, can really play a significant role in ensuring that we promote our local beneficiation of our diamonds. Hence, we believe that our engagements with South African Revenue Services, because in all this, there's an issue of tax that you'll find that if a person is regarded like, for example, if you are going to be exporting and providing 40%, 5% of that levy you will also be exempted on. So we have been engaging with SARS to look specifically on the issues of Petra, because also that's another area which we are very greatly concerned, that Petra, although is regarded as a small operator, but if you combine the number of mines that they operate, we feel that the issue of them being elected as a result and being exempted from paying tax is something that needs to be looked into closely. Thank you very much.
Hi, thank you, Chair. Thank you, members of the committee. We'll respond to your questions now. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I'll attempt to respond to a few questions and my colleagues will assist. But maybe before I respond to the questions, as I started with my presentation, I indicated that the board made some observation with regard to two questions, whether the entity does it still, is there still relevance for the entity to exist. And I also indicated that the answer was positive, taking into consideration what the entity has achieved up to this far. The question is, what are the bottlenecks? We've indicated the issue of funding and also the legislation that the entity could have done even better should those been attended to or reviewed. Because at the end of the day, if the entity was not there, the strides that the entity has made in terms of beneficiation, we could have not achieved it. So that means there's still a need for the entity to exist and also to continue providing the service that is providing. However, we need to look into other strategies. Hence, when we spoke about the activities, we indicated exactly that there are issues that we are taking into consideration, like reviewing the financing, the incubator, and other activities that we are going to put in place in order to ensure that the entity continues providing their services, especially focusing on the youth and women, like in particular. Chairperson, the first question was around the amounts or the value that was out of the 78 companies that we have, the top three, or top between top three and five. Currently, we don't have the integrated report because we are finalizing our annual report. We normally do this on a rotational basis, the allocation of the rough diamond to our clients, but preference is given to the emerging one or the first entrance to the market, so that at least they can get their footing earlier. The question regarding the company Kwame and Olo, we as an entity, we only deal with companies that have license. So in our case, when we look at our books, the two companies, they do have license, they are authorized that they can trade. So we deal with them accordingly. Coming to the question about 15% versus the 85%, what we normally do, we only purchase the stock that we feel that we will be able to sell. So the 85% that is referred to, we don't sell. We don't buy, we don't purchase. We only focus on the 15%. That is why I was saying it's a bit difficult sometimes to operate because of the quality that we receive, because we get only the 15% out of the 10, which we have to make it available for beneficiation. Therefore, that makes even the institution not to be sustainable. If we only focused or we given the gem or the stuff that is required or the diamonds that are required, obviously we're going to be more sustainable. The issue of lack of funding, as I indicated, currently we have an arrangement with the IDC for a loan, because when we receive the diamonds after we have chosen, we have to look whether can we purchase. Hence, when we look at our finance and our reserves, we only currently have about the call account of about 30 million. So if we are going to have more stock that we need to purchase, we are going to be unable to do that, because even the facility that we have, the loan that we have from IDC, is only 60 million, and we have to pay it at the within short space of time at about prime plus 3, which at the end of the day, the member, the honourable member, was correct that the profit that we make, profit margins that we make, is between 3% and 4%. Which basically runs the institution. There's no profit because of the price which we sell, where we purchase, and also that we have to sell, and we translate it back to the beneficiation. Hence, we now and then talk about the funding, and at the same time looking at the legislation that needs to be amended. The colleagues will assist, then I can wrap up at the end of the day.
Thanks, CEO. I'll just address the first question that was asked by Inkos Mandela, where she said that all rough diamonds can be cut and polished locally, and that is a myth. That is true, because that is not possible. Because currently we said that according to the research, out of the 100% produced locally, only 15% that can be cut and polished locally. And from our 10%, when you link it, then it means only 1.5% can be cut and polished. So that actually takes us to the fact that we don't really buy the whole 10% on a month-to-month basis, because it means all our cash flow can be tied in the inventory, which means now the entity won't be able to survive. So at times we can manage to buy 3%, sometimes we manage to buy 4%. And another benefit that we had, we negotiated with some producers. They agreed that we can cherry pick out of that 10%. We don't have to buy the run of mine as per the legislation. So we can only pick whatever we know that can be locally beneficiated. Even our clients can buy it. So that's another benefit that we have. And another one, it's saying that the HADSA able to consume from their 10%. I think I've addressed this one, that we don't buy the full 10% run of mine. And the other issue was the whereby the Ngozi was saying that how do we map this If you look at our strategy, the issue of this run of mine to ensure that it can be cut and polished, we are trying to do something. If you look at our strategy number two, there we are saying that we will facilitate local benefit of miners' three greener gem quality diamonds by developing a model to attract state diamond trader clients to benefit the miners' three greeners. So from that, it will increase that consumption of local diamond from 15%, maybe it will take it to 20 when we actually have that strategy approved and they can actually buy the miners' three greener. And the other one, the issue of where we're talking about strategy number three, the funding able to acquire 10% on month to month. That's what I've addressed, that we cherry pick and we are lucky to do that. And also the other one, HDAs, they are able to consume from their limited capital from the 10% run of mine. On that one, strategy number three, we are addressing that issue. We say that there is a pilot model for the supply of rough diamonds to black-owned businesses on developmental terms. Although we know that there's an issue of funding, that they don't have money, we are trying as state diamond trader that we can actually provide that on developmental terms. How? It's an issue because we also have the problem with the funding. If we can be assisted with funding, it means we can do that because we will not be pressed to get the money. We can give them the diamond, they polish the diamond, and then they pay us later. It's a strategy that we are still planning to develop. So we're not sure how far it's going to go, but we are planning to develop that strategy so that we can ensure that we grow our clients. The other one is what has been raised by the member, talking about the interest, which is that our net profit is too low. It is what it is, Chair. We don't have control over that because every money we get, profit we get, we need to make sure that we actually plow back. And at times, we don't always make profit from our diamonds. That's why when you look at our gross profit, although we say that we are planning to actually make 4% gross profit, sometimes we break even. Because at the end of the day, it's not all about us making profit. It's also about the issue of growing the beneficiation. So we try to balance that. And up to a point whereby we can be said that we are just trading. The mandate doesn't force us to actually develop our clients. Then you will see the profit in our books. But for now, we are trying to balance between developing and also making profit. So you will see that our net profit will always be low, to the extent that at some point we will even make losses. But we are trying to balance to sustain the entity to grow. Another thing, you indicated that we exist to keep a number of people employed. I think that's very important, because when you look at the NDP, it encourages job creation. Immediately the state diamond trader is closed, it means there will be about 20 people who will be unemployed, which is going to be increasing in the number of unemployment rates in South Africa. We are trying to actually maintain, to make sure that there are people that are employed, but also balancing the money, because we are growing our clients. And I think the portfolio committee, when they visited us, they could see our clients that were there. They even have some interactions with them who were actually seeing the need for the existence of state diamond trader. Because the benefit for them is that we're not tendering the goods. We call them on a rotational basis. And then the client will decline if they don't have money. The one that does have money will come and buy. That's a benefit for them. The last one that I will attempt is a rapid transformation of the sector. What are we doing in training youth? I think in our presentation, the CEO indicated that we do have EDP, that is enterprise development, where we are training those people to be entrepreneurs, and we are providing them with information. We currently have 18 people that we are training them to be entrepreneurs, and they are also being assisted by our clients by acquiring the skills that will assist them to identify diamonds, to value the diamonds. We are really trying to assist in order that the beneficiation can actually grow. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, colleagues from the DMR family, I just want Chairperson to assist in saying that we cannot underestimate the importance of an institution such as the State Diamond Trader, because beneficiation of the resources of the Republic is important, and it is part of the NDP. And whether the institution is called the State Diamond Trader in the diamond sector or something else, the need for an institution of that nature is there. And had it not been for the existence of that institution, the reports as we have given today, in terms of the participation of HDSAs as well as the segmentation that we showed in our presentation, would not exist. Previously, there was a different model, and that model did not enable historically disadvantaged individuals to participate in the sector. Chairperson, that is the bottom line, and the story is different today because of the existence of that entity. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to just follow up with some information which might be of interest, and if the State Diamond Trader or the regulator want to comment on it, then they can. I'm interested to hear the confirmation that the Diamond Trader has had dealings with those companies that I mentioned, because one of them, Ukolo, and I believe they're both run by the same people, was a recipient of 4.5 million rand, which is the subject of a court case of money that was stolen from the Estina dairy project. So what we have here is something quite possibly that money was used to buy diamonds from the State Diamond Trader. It would be very interesting to know how much business those companies did with the State Diamond Trader and what happened to the diamonds that they bought. Were they taken offshore? Because there is at least an opening for speculation that those diamonds were bought for stolen money, and the money was then taken offshore, and this was a means to move money out of the country. And if either entity would like to comment on that, I'd be interested to hear.
Thanks, Chair, for the information that we are now privileged to have. As I indicated, Chair, that our responsibility is to deal with the companies or clients that are licensed. And unfortunately, we are not the licensing authority. So as far as we are concerned, they have produced their documents, and we dealt with them in that view, as they that they had license to trade with the State Diamond Trade.
Okay. Done. Now, let me make this before we part. Let me start here. CFO, there is a problem that down the line, we want to draw the line first between the role and the task of the executive authority. But we also have to raise concerns because we can't keep quiet. You've got Tubabu Mbonambi, who is an acting CEO at the regulator. If I'm not mistaken, he was a deputy to Ubabu Msiza. So Ubabu Msiza, who is an acting CEO at Mintec. Now, Gashalaji Sega, it was a galaji take. I'm usually a big shiva man. What must have been the second labor boy Lekai? Kushuguti. There was a movement upward, looking at push and pressure up, looking at push and pressure up. Should now go pressing down. uzondi fanelehle ufebe below umbonabo. No, it must be practical. Or Lyoda ubekuyona abuyele kuyona umbonabi ayehle abuyele endaweni yakhe abese yahamba umsizo uyabuyela endaweni yakhe. Surely there is something to me. The point though is that if you are to do something, that's just my observation, you are going to do something, I don't want to use this word radical because I might be misinterpreted, but if you are going to do something that is completely dynamic, we can't hide it. We need to find a way of creating stability with extreme agents. They may not say it, I'm not them. They may not say it when they're here. But in the whole scheme of things, surely they ask themselves, where do we fit in? What's going to happen? Can we get just that minimum assurance that these things will receive the agency they deserve? All what I know, go to Umsiza, what's there, the Jungana Paskom Code. Imagine, say, Nifonega, Iopata, technology, Aladdin Diamonds, SAR, as those Bengala, which they are valid or not. I'm just saying, for me, as soon as whatever is happening, if Megia Mugwami was that, the process of finding CEOs for the entities should be running simultaneously with stabilizing or creating certainty at the level of the department. Not saying there is something, but I get worried when I was listening, I was looking at them. You know, it's not that even it's people who are performing the jobs at the same level, at the same department, you know, move someone there. They are completely now in a secluded place in a entity. And probably by the time, if they've got no interest, but Safunubu in the department, by the time they go back, they may be left on the processes that are going on at the department level. So I'm just saying, can we deal with that element first? That would be my first observation. The second thing, you see, these diamond traders, they are relevant to exist. Parallel to that process, they say, we need funding. Now, for me, I was not going to answer that question, frankly. You didn't establish yourself. And let me say this, I always make this joke. At home, Mekayas was seven. So the last born, because we lost our mother as early as 1989, verily. The last born then says, Zekaya, Kota, my father, seven wonke, seven. Then the old man answers and says, can you tell us who should not have been born here? Now the answer was automatic. The last born should not have been born, so that we are not seven. So don't answer that question, because you are born, you are here, you exist. And there is no way now, except if the only way to eliminate is to kill. So it's up to us if we feel we must commit the crime. The point is that for us, and I always say when we have that debate, no entity can prove it's relevant to exist, except those who saw the need for it to exist. So for us who are members of parliament and politicians, we must debate whether there is relevancy for the existence of these entities. And I think we must not run away from that. Whether there is no need even to do a realignment of the entities as a whole. That's to me what should be the discussion, which can fit in now on the point I initially started with, of creating a level of certainty. I won't go to the bigger ones, I have my own views. But I think the other thing, I'm shocked, Honorable Lorim, I didn't know, I must be honest. The only thing we can say, surely, if that matter is like that, I don't think it will skip the process that we have agreed that it must be. That's why I said the biggest problem with that process, which I'm going to end with, the biggest problem with that process is that it runs the risk of not finishing. Because there may be more and more. When you think you're closed, there is more that comes up, there is more that comes up. Again, I would just say, from what you've just said now, it then says we must be ready. That it could be one of the things we'll be seized with as a committee, and we can't hide and run away from it or bury our heads. But we will look at it. The last thing, now, again, say from what I said, if it were me, now, all of you, let me tell you, the worst news you don't want to hear. Now, I'm here with their board members so that you go back and tell them. At school, there's something called describe, define, explain, expand, all those kinds of words. They may sound general, but they are very good. They've got a purpose. You see, I always make this example. I once went to the Free State. Was that guy from Department of Economic Development, ne? Or from the district municipality. When he was presenting, I said, if I could steal, I could steal that one. When he was presenting, he had a document. He presented within 10 minutes. But everything that is in the document was, he knew what we were supposed to get. Now let me tell you, if I was presenting, my starting point will be, Chairperson, we are presenting our annual performance plan as well as our budget. Key areas on the annual performance plan are these ones, 1, 2, 3. In terms of our projections of deliverables, these are the things that we are looking at. And then finally, in terms of resource allocation, this is the concern that we are having. We don't think that we'll be able to achieve 1, 2, 3, because by cost implication, they mean this. And therefore, on the basis of this, sometimes we are compelled to cut in order to meet what is allocated to us. Because the risk when you present, like I always say, with due respect, please understand me, I would be wrong if I don't. When you present and read, we read, we read, we read, we even forget when you started. We can't draw the distinction between what you want to send through as a message and, or put it crudely, the presentation, no, it's not as not informative. The problem with that presentation, it becomes a report. It's not something that is taking into account so that these people can advise us. Or, so I'm just saying, when you go back, maybe the starting point should be, just prepare your notes, Uzami, you tried, Nelsing and Mabuza, you tried. Not that I'm simply, you can still do better. You summarize what is in your, on page so and so, that's why I said you tried. On page so and so, the issues that we're highlighting are this one, 1, 2, 3. And your report becomes quick. What it does, it makes it easy for people to pick up and say, we will run with this one. When CGS came in, when they made the presentation, which is why we could pick up that thing, it's simple because at some point their major emphasis was on mineral exploration and the need for extra money. So we knew that there was this challenge. They came with Mintec, ne? They talked, there were three issues that were very critical that we knew there is demand for financing. It was the question of exploration, it was the issue of acid mine drainage, as well as derelict and ownerless mine. We knew that is what they've been coming, crying for money and so forth. Now let me give you the last point. I think it's you, Babu Mbana, before I put you in drugs and what we say. This, is it you? Look at 84 million. Or is it, it's you. 84 million on personnel, on overhead. And 12 million on you call it other expenditure. Now, two things there, 84 million and 12 million. That's what you could draw in between. I'm just making it. Now, those questions from honorable members might then emerge. So you exist in order to pay salaries. Now, I'm just saying, you are not in any way supposed to be an income-generating institution. But you look at the graph, Yako, if you put crudely, if you're doing it on a graph, your graph would be, when it comes to overheads or salaries, your graph would be going like this. And in between, like this, will be your other expenses. Now, you then miss what is the real function of the entity. You know why? It's because you are unable to find your annual performance plan so that we can see, do they follow the money, or does money follow your annual performance plan? So when members, sometimes we are asking those questions, it's simply because there is that gap. So I'm just saying, next time when we come, if we were to get, but all the same time, I'm just being, I can't undermine my colleagues. These are my colleagues. We elected all of us to be public representatives. But the risk is that when you present almost, like I say, a report, you make them not to uneven it themselves, because they cannot not ask you when you are presenting the report to them. Now, we may find ourselves, even from this side now as members of parliament, find ourselves in a situation where we're asking questions that may not necessarily be relevant to what you came to what you were supposed to come and present. That is the dilemma, because if you come to me, you come here, you prepare a report, I must ask you on what you've written. And we end up losing the purpose. And we're not saying it is wrong, maybe it helps us because now we can pick up things that would not have picked up if it was. So it helps, on the other side is the positive side. So my take is that because now they are board members, they must look at this thing. When I was saying don't set vision and so forth, now it didn't mean that you don't know or you shouldn't stick. But there's a point, I think it was Honorable Smith, again to state diamond trade. That is why it's easy to pick up. That when you look, I understand the answer that says, but some of these tasks are not sitting with us in terms of regulation, they are sitting with another entity. But the truth of the matter, when you look on the annual performance, your annual performance plans and indicators, the report doesn't talk to what the mandate is all about. And I understand, that's what I understand the limitation. But if that issue is a focal point, it should be there to be understood that, by the way, our responsibility of regulation in terms of the indicators is this one. This one, unfortunately, doesn't fall on us entirely. It falls also with the law enforcement agencies, and therefore we just form part of a structure that is there. So that we can, because when you do your budget, it goes back to what I said even to other entities. When you do your budget, we must be able to see what are your regulations in order for you to save cost, don't need to be budgeted and therefore enforced somewhere else. So I think next time we will have that. I'm just making a typical example. If you deal with gold and you say there is a problem because there is that team that has got the security cluster, mainly the police and the intelligence, whatever, there is that process. The problem is that the responsibility for gold in particular, where you've got massive illegal mining, is placed squarely on the Department of Mineral Resources, and you are supposed to be dealing with its regulation. So it's going to be missed in between, and we'll never know. If we sit here for a second, we'll never know whether there is a budget. Police, we're meeting there. Whether that issue forms part of their APP, illegal mining, whether is there a budget that has been allocated to them. Now, both these things then disappears in between. Then you become literally more like a diamond regulator, which then doesn't form part of what you are supposed to be doing. But in a nutshell, but I think all of us, some of us now are beginning at least to find our footing, you see. It's a nice thing. Thank you very much, though. It's not that the information you are giving, it was not of help. Don't go out and say, "Ish, I thought I presented so." No, it was not of good value. You know my spirit is one. I prefer that you hate me for telling you the truth rather than to be a friend of mine simply because I was buying your face. The truth of the matter is that all of us, you are here because you need to be assisted. So I'd rather be stupid for saying what I think I need advice on or assistance on than to be a clever person who's going to mess up because I didn't want to say I don't know. That's sometimes part of the weaknesses. Lastly, honorable members, we're meeting next week. I nearly said Tuesday. Next week, Wednesday. I hope I'll be around. I still have to follow up what is happening. You kept me well, ne? Sometimes when you've got your own things, when you are in between people, it's much better than to sit there in a corner because things then start to kick in. But we are dealing with the adoption of the report. We've got just one technical issue. Me and Honorable Mandel, and or even Honorable Beginning, almost all of us, on Tuesday that week, it's a public holiday. On Thursday, there's no plenary. We are only left with Wednesday. Depending, maybe I'm leaving you to be open, depending what we discuss next week. But we have the view that if there is no emergency matter, that's why I say subject what we'll discuss next week. If there is no emergency, we don't see the need to call honorable members to come for 3 to 4 hours to Cape Town and then go back. Because we'll be coming only for Wednesday and Thursday. But as I say, it will be subject to the discussions we'll have next week, Wednesday. We adopt Wednesday. We will then get a briefing and a discussion on the question of finalizing the terms of reference. As you remember, we were given a task and we said we are taking that task forward. We will give more details, whether is there progress, is there movement, any movement. We will give that report back on Wednesday. We think we can fit these two. We don't think we'll be too tight on the report, on combining and adopting the report. Maybe we'll have more discussion depending again on the report we are giving you. We may have more discussions on the report on progress. But again, sitting here, understanding what you agreed with the work that will have to precede the actual responsibility, we may have to start the actual process maybe June or so, depending. Because remember, we said there could be a preliminary process of, for instance, how do we collect evidence? How do you make it a point that everyone who has got a view or an experience, all those things, how do you sift through whether those that are being will be here are relevant? So it will be subject to what we are giving next week. On that note, thank you very much. The court is adjourned.